maintaining Vaikuntha, maintaining the material world. These aspects for him are only take a part of his energy. Vaikuntha more, material world, even though it's one quarter of the cosmos, it only takes a millionth of a millionth portion of his energy to run the whole thing. Right? So for Krishna, then his focus is simply on the interaction with him and his devotees. That's really all that's important to him. Because the other stuff is just what you do, right? Just like in the house, you take out the garbage, right? Your house is clean, but is that your, the whole identity, is that your whole scene? That you took out the garbage or you vacuumed the rug? You understand? That's not where the focus is. So being God, maintaining the creation, maintaining the material world, this is not where Krishna's focus is. It's about the interaction, right? In the house, it's about interacting with the people in the house, doing things in the house. Right? So then for Krishna, then this aspect of the devotee, this is the most important. So here we can mean the devotee, meaning the position of devotee, or the devotee we can mean, meaning Srimati Radharani. This is Rupa Goswami mentions, there's only actually in the whole cosmos one devotee. That's Radharani. Everybody else is her devotee. Right? Because he says, it's one who says they're my devotee is not my devotee. One who says they're the devotee of my devotee, they're my devotee. Right? So now, all these different, so that means the whole thing that's going on is taste. Right? We talk about getting to the platform of prema. But the whole point of getting to the platform of prema is to taste. It's about taste. It's not about a position. We're worried about getting out of the material world, purifying ourselves, developing knowledge, detachment, developing devotion. So these are situations which are important. But the point is, what are you going to do with that situation? What's going to happen in that situation? So for Krishna, his pastimes means these are the interactions with the devotees in the situations that generate taste. Right? That's the whole thing. As we discussed before, Krishna's Ichashakti is how he can appreciate the interaction with the devotees, his desire, his will. Then the arrangements for that, the situations and the interactions that generate that fulfillment of his will, which is the taste of devotion, exchange of devotion, that's actually what's going on. And so we see is that there's so much range of that, since Krishna is rasa. That range of what tastes are available is basically unlimited. So now if we want to get a particular taste, then you have to learn from those who have it. That's the system. And Krishna expects it to work that way, because as we already said, there's him, there's the Swarup Shakti, then there's everything else expanding from the Swarup Shakti. So what does that mean? The connection of everything else to Krishna is through his Swarup Shakti. Does that make sense? So that means that the approaching of him directly is not what gives the taste. Right? The approach is what is in support of what's direct. Right? So that means then it's by hearing from those persons that then we learn what is that devotion. This is very essential. Because the devotional process is automatic. You follow it, the results come. Right? And the interesting thing is that by the devotional activities, the prema, the awakening of prema is actually a secondary, a marginal aspect of the process. Right?
Why?
Because prema is inherent in the soul. But it's been covered by our material absorption. So the devotional process absorbs us in Krishna. This purifies us of the unnatural covering, or the material covering. And then that then naturally allows that love for Krishna to naturally manifest. You understand? So it's a side thing, because the main thing of devotional service is the taste of exchange, of devotion or attachment between Krishna and the devotees. That's the primary. Awakening of prema, that happens at one point, because it's not, and then eternally it's going to be the taste within that prema. Does this make sense? Right. So we think, I want to get back to Godhead, I want to develop love. Yes, these are goals to get to. That's the goal of the situation we want to be in. But once we're in that situation, then what are you going to do? Yeah, you know, it's not that we're going to be standing on top of a mountain, you know, with our arms out and it's spinning and the plane is flying around and the picture is happening and, you know, like all that. It's a matter of what are you going to be doing? You know, okay, get away with one song, right? If there were two songs, would people remember it? No, one song. Right? Okay, so now what are you going to do for eternity? That means interacting with Krishna. Right? So this comes to the point, is that how do we know how to interact with Krishna? How do we learn? Radharani knows. She's a Sarup Shakti. She is non-different from Krishna. We're expanding from her. She knows how. We're a part. So how us, our nature, can be engaged in that total picture of devotion to Krishna, that we need to learn. So this is where then the acharya comes in, the teacher comes in. Right? So this cannot be reduced in any way. Our connection is through the acharyas. They know how to please Srimati Radharani. Hearing from them, learning from them, serving under them, then we can also come to that platform. It's simple, right? It's just like, how do you learn something, right? Because we're not, you want to learn knowledge, there's a teacher, you want to learn a craft, there's someone you work with, you apprentice with, right? Anything that you is practical, that's actually learned, you learn under somebody. And in that, it's not just that you just do it. I get the book, I learn it out, you know, okay. Prema for idiots, right? You know, like that, you know. That's not the method, right? Because we see is, let's say you start in a trade, in traditional system, where after someone's trained, they become a master. Nowadays, you learn a trade, maybe you become a master, maybe not. No one's really worried about it. As long as you get your money, it doesn't matter. But before, it was about becoming a master in something. So if you start, let's say you're learning carpentry. You spend the first few years just sweeping the place and picking it up, moving the wood around, bringing what people want. Right? Bringing lunch, cleaning up. Why? What we could say is, you know, okay, you can learn that in a couple of days. But what is it that you're actually learning at that time? The main thing is, what's the attitude of the master carpenters? How do they deal with the shop? How do they keep it clean? How do they deal with their tools? How do they deal with the wood? How do they do all these? The mood is the most important. Technique is something, yes, you learn, it's valuable. But if you have technique and no mood, there's no taste, right? Someone that has fabulous cooking, they can go in there in the frying pan and the flames are happening and it's all going on, but if there's no taste, who cares? Does that make sense? You get it out of a can and it tastes good, you're happy. You understand? So it's about taste. So that is the thing that you're learning from them. Technique is easy, right? We see Krishna and Balaram, they learned 64 items of art and science in 64 days, right? So here that's special. In the spiritual world, not as special, right? Or you could say, yeah, it's just that's standard because you don't have the material faults to get in the way, right? There you're fully focused, you're fully absorbed, you remember things. Here we tend to forget, you know, and especially in Kali Yuga, then we're especially empowered to forget, right? Like that. We have the blessings to forget. Yes. So, how you say, at least forget what we're supposed to remember, but we always remember what we're not supposed to. That's somehow or another, that part is... I think that's the fine print in that verse, right? Yeah. So, then the acharyas, they teach. They show the mood. So that's very, very important. Prabhupada was always talking about you don't want to create duality, right, within the movement. You bring in things that aren't connected or from a different perspective. It creates duality, which is the weakest thing. The most difficult thing. Because then, what is the mood? Because as we were discussing, vibhava, the aspect of rati, your attachment, means, rasa means, what is your attachment to Krishna? You have prema, right, love, but how is that going to be manifest? It's through the specific attachment. Mother Yashoda has that attachment in parental, so it's expressed through that. Right, so because of that mood, then those things connected with that mood, that's what then starts the interaction. So if you don't have a mood, or your mood's always changing, then how are the rasas going to work? Therefore, Rupa Goswami, he gives in his Nectar Devotion, the last section of his book out of the four sections on rasa bhas. In other words, there cannot be this movement of rasa around without being fixed. Otherwise, that means there is no fixed attachment. Right? So then, how are you going to have taste? Right? There must be, in other words, there's variety, but it must be variety within one specific mood. Right? So, we see that now as the acharyas go, then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he very nicely, taking from what the acharyas have given before, and in just as scientific a presentation, but at the same time, using practical logic to show the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the Western mind could appreciate. Right? Devotees sometimes get worried that we need to adjust this movement for the Western mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakur already did that, 150 years ago. Right? So he's way ahead of us. You know, we have to remember is if you check carefully, behind our ears it's still wet. You know. Like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the acharyas, they know. Because before him, the acharyas only had to deal. They didn't have to deal with the Western culture. They dealt with Asian culture, other than just the Vedic. But there's much similarity between all the Asian cultures. The fundamentals are much the same. Standards of cleanliness vary. But the personal interactions and these kind of things remain the same. Hospitality, this, that. It extends quite far, you know? Like that. So, but he's the first one that deals with a mentality that doesn't have faith in the Vedas and doesn't follow the culture. Right? And instead of the sense of duty, because you'll see in Asia, there's always that sense of duty. Right? But in Europe, that's been gone a long time ago. And when it's disappearing, that's when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing things into that perspective. That you're dealing with a perspective that the reason that there's society and the reason that people work together is not because there's God-given duties, but because by cooperating together we can get better sense gratification. That's the premise of modern culture. And so, therefore, they're establishing their own ideals, not God-given ideals, just whatever the group decides is good. Right? Like that. So, he's dealing with that. So now he's bringing Lord Chaitanya's teachings into this context. And bringing out, saying it very clearly, very succinctly. The Dasa Mool, the 10 principles that Lord Chaitanya gave in Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, on the relationship of the living entity, God, and the material nature, and his Krishna's energies, the devotional process, prema. He very nicely brings out the principle of Yukta Vairagya, because in Yukta Vairagya, it's a word cheaply used. But Yukta Vairagya means that you're engaging whatever you have, whatever your position is in society, in the Lord's service without attachment. So why am I doing what I'm doing? Not because that's so much what I want to do, that's what I should be doing. You understand? Because human life starts here. At the same time, is it addresses what's less than that. You know, the Thakur, he addresses this. How to connect whatever you're doing. So this Yukta Vairagya means is that there's going to be some connection to the Lord, but it's not about the Lord is there to connect what I want. It's about I'm connecting what I want to the Lord. There's a vast difference. I mean, very vast difference. It sounds like, oh, you're just reversing the words. But it's like this. I want to do something, and if Shastra says I can do it, then great. But if Shastra doesn't say I can do it, I'll do it anyway. You understand? So if I can come across things where it says, see, you're going to be a family person, engage everything in Krishna's service, that's what you do anyway. I mean, you do that. You wouldn't necessarily engage in the Lord's service. So we say, I'm engaging it. But he points out, it's no, everything can be connected because, why? We're seeing it, what is useful for Krishna consciousness, that we're keeping. So this is the point where it said we don't have to follow all the duties that the Vedic culture prescribes. Because the Vedic culture is prescribing things for the Karmakandi. Which means he wants to be happy in the material world. And that's his purpose. He's not going for the higher purpose of love of God. He's not trying to please Krishna. So therefore, there's all kinds of fine technical points that he must follow. Now for the devotee, it's a matter of what is useful in Krishna consciousness. Right? And so then, all those other fine points in the Vedic culture, those aren't so important. Right? But at the same time, that means all the fine points in your life, you should be seeing, are they connected to the Lord? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed this. He spoke about, he lived it. Right? He's got a family, he's married. Right? And he has 12 kids. Right? So one would definitely have to admit that there's a bit of a household going on here. Right? He's got a job. Right? You know, and it's not just, you know, some, you know, part-time job, so he's got plenty of time for no. It's a very rigorous job. Besides that, he's chanting, he's re-studying, and he's writing. Right? Meeting people, doing all these things. So whatever someone would do in this kind of environment, and what he's doing, he's working as a magistrate, so he's working within the British system. So it's not that, let's say, he's a pundit in some temple somewhere. But he's showing, yes, all this can be done. The Yukta Vairagya aspect works very nicely. But you have to know what it is. Right? It's about how to connect ourselves to Krishna. Right? Not how to, whatever it is I want to do, have an excuse to continue doing it. That's not technically Yukta Vairagya. It rolls off the lips very easily. But it's Yukta Vairagya. You Yukta connected to Krishna Vairagya without attachment. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole principle. He gave that. Another point he brought out is that Lord Chaitanya is making this point that there's only, means we have all the qualities of a devotee that we always hear we don't separately have to endeavor for. Because by doing the devotional process, devotion, knowledge, detachment, these automatically come with the process. Because if we're doing our duties, all the things of tolerance and perseverance, all these different good qualities, being cultured, all, you have to apply them, because otherwise it won't work. Right? There'll be social disturbance. But he mentions two qualities one should make an endeavor for. Right? That's namaruchi, or taste for the name, and jivadoya, the mercy to the living entities. That we should make a conscious effort to try to absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, and we should try to spread that mercy to whoever we can. So those two, you say, here I make my endeavor. The other things, no, you just do your service and use the proper qualities to get it done. And it'll happen. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing this mood that what Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. You know, all the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how practically we can use them in our day-to-day life. So this is something special. And then we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur organize that into a mission. Mission meaning an institution. And then Prabhupada taking that principle, then establish that around the world. So you could say the founding father of this preaching in the modern or Western environment is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right? So that gives him a very special position. So it's, we're always trying to make that connection. We're always trying to see that we are following the acharyas. We can't make up our own systems. It won't work. We can do it, but it won't work. It's called apasampradayas. Apasampradayas are those who make up their own systems that the acharyas don't use. So it, on the external, looks like devotion, but it's not actually, because it's not following the footsteps of the acharyas. If it's doing that, that's sampradayak, right? Yes. Any questions or comments? Yes.
How do you define? How do you define who is properly following?
How do you define who is properly following? Basically is that you're making your best endeavor to follow Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's what you're trying to do. And that Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is coming in a line, coming down the parampara. So for us, that means the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So if one is sticking to that, what Prabhupada says, what the acharyas say, then you can say that's a sincere follower, right? We don't want to make up some new system. We want to be very careful that we don't, for some social purpose, create something new. Prabhupada always warned about that. See, because, see, Krishna, he's the oldest, but he's ever fresh. See, that's the thing. With Krishna, all these contradictory qualities go together. If it's not connected to Krishna, then they don't. What's old isn't fresh. What's fresh is not old. You understand? But with Krishna, he can be the oldest and be the freshest. That's his Achintya Shakti. So if one's connected properly to Krishna, it's always fresh. This idea we have to reinvent the whole thing because it's a different environment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur already did that. And simply Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada showed us how to apply it. But it's already been invented by him, just like this one devotee was doing something and Prabhupada, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing research. Prabhupada said the research was all done by the Goswamis. We're simply studying and we can compile things, but they did the research, right? You go through Linga Purana, right? 100,000 verses, right? That means, you know, basically 5.5 times the size of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from there, they pulled out 3 verses. That these verses, now these have something solid. That's research.
Sometimes you have devotees who are arguing about who's actually following. No, we're following. No, we're following.
If we're arguing over who's, but what's the basis of saying we're following? If we're arguing over who's following, what's the basis?
Prabhupada's books.
Prabhupada's books. And okay. And then what about Prabhupada's books?
He's saying here this thing. He's saying here something else.
We're saying here one thing, saying there another thing. So then that means, if we see them as two different things, that means we're not connected with the Achintya Shakti. That means technically we're not actually connecting it to Krishna. Because there is no such thing as two things. Does that make sense? Means Krishna being everything, it's all Him. Because what happens is generally speaking, is we take an external aspect of Krishna consciousness and make that primary. Because of that, therefore we see the difference in the external, that's where it all is happening. You know, the one person, he takes the pan and with his wrist goes like this, and without using a spoon, it all flips. The other person is using the spatula. Another person is using those kind of things like this and turning things over. So, which is the correct way? Which is the absolute right way that all others are bogus? Right? The principle is to get things to turn in the pan without creating too much trouble. So whichever one works at the particular time. Depends on your pan. Right? Okay. So, yes.
Are the rasas fixed or should we develop the rasas?
Rasas. Are they fixed?
Are we qualified to think that I am this particular rasa? No, we all think that we are servant of the Lord. It's not dangerous to think that I am a mother of the Lord, and or should we wait for it? And you
know. It's like this. Let us say. Okay. We'll go through some steps here, okay? Some examples. Let us say, okay, who comes out of college with top marks in medicine? Sorry? Who studies properly? When did that study start? Yes, but how far back in school? Yes, it started way down. So sometime by the time they're like 12, they decided they want to be a doctor. That it means that level. You know, neuro brain surgeons and this and that. So they started then. Now, when they're 12 and say, I want to be a doctor, do they say, now I'm the doctor? No. They're studying for it. But the point is if you know that you want to develop love for Krishna, then you make the endeavor. Right? It's quicker. Otherwise, yes, you go, you get through school, you get into your college, you get something, and you know, it'll kind of work out. So at some point you get serious, but if you start earlier, it just makes the process faster. It means you can start now being serious that I want to develop pure devotion. Yes, but the parents are telling the kids to become a doctor, but why does the child listen? Right? Because there's a relationship. A lot of parents tell the kids what they should be, and it doesn't necessarily work out. You know what I'm saying? So, generically, this is very general. But you see where there's a strong cultural kind of community, then there is, generally, they excel in these areas. Why? Because that sense of community is there, that sense of belonging, that sense of endeavor. Does that make sense? So that's why then the Vaishnava culture and community is there, so that there is that sense of, yes, pure devotion is what I want. So that focus is on that, that's what generates. The skill doesn't generate. But, you know, so it's not because of the science books that they studied in secondary education, or the medical books they studied in college, that makes them the doctor. It's the mood that makes them the doctor. That's what we were talking about before. That's what we get from the acharyas. So they give that urgency to develop pure devotion. So that, therefore, one can have that, but it doesn't mean that one's on that platform. You say, I'm on this platform, that's what we're talking about, is sahaja. You know, it's like that. It's just like, okay, let's say you have some 3-4-year-old girls, right? And they're playing with their dolls. What are they playing? Right? House, right? People are getting married. There's things happening, right? Cooking. All this is going on. Can they cook? No. Are they married? No. You understand? So that's the whole point, is because there's that focus. Therefore, it develops. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you said that Yukta Vairagya means, you said connecting to Krishna without attachment.
No, we're connecting to Krishna, those things that are useful in his service, according to our occupation, our position.
And the attachment, you said, without attachment?
Means, in other words, you may know that you're attached, but it's not a matter, I'm attached, that's okay, get out of my face. That's a ticket for staying in the material world. It's, yes, I'm attached in this way, it's not good. But I'll engage. But that attachment can be engaged in Lord's service. I'm engaging it. So its usefulness is its engagement in the Lord's service, not because it's my attachment. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. Okay. Let us say you're cooking for Krishna. Okay. And you're cooking a preparation you like to eat. Okay. See, if you're going to get anywhere, you have to start to understand that there's something behind the externals. Otherwise, then, unless you come from a very regulated, pious background where you can do everything perfect, like, in other words, if your last name is Iyer or Iyengar or Sharma or Tiwari or like this. And, you know, your parents are worshiping deities and getting up in the morning. Okay, then you got a shot at just dealing with externals and getting somewhere if you keep the association of devotees and don't make offense. But if that's not your background, then it's worthwhile to start noticing that there's a difference between the externals and the attitude that one has in doing it. Right? Okay? So now, let us say you're hungry, you want to eat a particular thing, you're cooking it for Krishna. Now, while you're cooking it, you're not thinking about how you're going to eat it. You understand? So even though its origin is from your attachment, its performance of execution is done without attachment because it's for Krishna. You understand? That's what we mean. People are married because they have attachment. Right? There's houses, there's money, there's families. Right? But they're taking that and those elements of that that are useful in Krishna consciousness, that's where they're putting their focus, and they're using that to in Krishna's service. You understand? So it may begin with our attachment, but it's applied to please Krishna. And so naturally, if that understanding is there, then with time, then there is no attachment for it. It's just that that's the situation you're in. Right? Even you come to the point you don't have attachment for grihastha life, then you're still performing those duties because it's favorable. Right? If it's not favorable, then why would you do it? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
My question is that our position, it is said that we are all das of Gopi Jana Padakamalam Das Anudas. So is that possible to develop the ultimate relation with Krishna, or we can become the eternal associate of Krishna, or we have to become the servant of servant? What is this means, this difference? I cannot understand.
Why? I don't quite. Could you understand what you're saying?
Thing is that
it's just that you're not speaking loud enough.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. It is said that our real position is Gopi Jana Padakamalam Das Anudas.
Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor, yeah, Das Das Anudas. Okay.
So can we, means as this Prabhu said, that that we can we become the indirect associate of Krishna?
Is that possible? So it's his fault.
Yeah, I'm confused with this.
And he's one of the leaders of our society. Huh? Okay, so he wants to know why we're not called Das Anudas, why we're Das, right? You know, like, you know, are we being duped here or something?
Is that my question is that can we become the eternal associate, the direct associate?
A direct associate. What do you mean by direct? And what do you mean by associate?
Like gopis or...
Gopis. But which gopis? There's so
not,
many gopis.
Not exactly gopis. I'm saying the...
Right, you could go to Rajasthan now. There's lots of gopis walking around taking care of cows. Right? The whole Lata Desh, you know, it's all, you know... Go to Vrindavan. What do you mean by gopis?
There are five rasas. Can we... We, as a living entity, we are our constitutional position is to serve Krishna.
Right.
Can we fit in this all three or four, five rasas?
Can we fit into all five rasas?
Anyone.
Anyone?
Yeah.
You want to fit into one, not all five. See, is the living, it means, oh, what's your thinking? What's your alternative? But what do you mean by, okay, your associate, you're in the pastimes, but your connection to Krishna, you're directly interacting with Krishna, but what's your relationship with Krishna? You understand? Do you have a grandfather? Right? Yes? No? Yes, you have a grandfather. Okay. Have you ever directly interacted with him? Never. Grandmother?
Past him.
But have you ever in the past?
No, I didn't saw them.
You didn't see. Okay, what about aunts, uncles?
I can get you.
I think it's mutual here. Yes.
I think what he's saying, giving our audience, that we have a direct relationship with Krishna without somebody else in the way.
Okay, but there's no such thing as a direct relationship with Krishna with someone else in the way, because no one else, nobody's in the way.
Are you talking about approaching Krishna through these?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Let's say you had your grandfather. The grandson can directly interact with him.
That's correct.
But does he have a direct relationship?
No. The grandfather?
No, he doesn't. His relationship is through his father. Okay, so then if you're going to interpret it that way, then what's the problem? How can there be someone in the way? The previous acharyas are all how we're related to Krishna, and they're not in the way. That's what's transparency.
That's the question I think he was asking.
Oh, okay, okay. He's just trying to...
He's thinking that, can I have a direct relationship with
yes.
without somebody else that I have to go through?
No, but you always have to go through. The point is like this. How do we know what Krishna wants? Krishna's unlimited. We're limited. The jiva is the same size. Krishna's unlimited, ever expanding. So that's why the example is given iron and fire. Because then the iron becomes like fire. So then when we're in the fire of the internal potency, then we become like that. So then we're able to take part in those pastimes. But what pleases Krishna, that we have to get from these higher authorities. Radharani knows how to please Krishna. And then her main lieutenants, they know. And then Rupa Goswami coming down. So then we know what will please. And so that's the meaning of the transparency. So nothing's in the way. But our relationship to know that is through these personalities. So that's the thing, is simultaneously it's through them, but at the same time we can directly interact. That's the specialness of the spiritual world, is these seemingly contradictory positions aren't contradictory. Is that okay? Oh, okay. No, I think he did okay. He seems to be smiling.
I recently read the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I read Haridananda's purports of the 11th canto, and very brilliant purports, and really nice, I have no complaints, really nice, wonderful, in the line, totally, completely in the line of Srila Prabhupada, and very, very nice, okay? So, and in those purports you see strong, the same Gaudiya Vaishnava principle spoken again and again. Strong condemnation of sense gratification, the uselessness of material life, strong condemnation of impersonalistic philosophy. And then, you know, just for the fun of it, I went on the Krishna West website, and then I read.
Okay, you're supposed to say that, like, supposed to say Krishna West, like that.
Yeah. Just to see what the hubbub was
okay.
about, and I read some of the stuff on the Krishna West website, and I don't know how much Haridananda Goswami has control over what's on that website. You know, and I don't know any of that stuff. Okay. But the question I ask, there's such a gulf of difference between the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam as written by Haridananda Goswami around the 1985-84, like that, right after Prabhupada left the planet. And then some of the things that are being pushed on the Krishna West website. So my question I have is, Is this a sellout of Prabhupada's social agenda, or is it a maturity that I just don't understand? A maturity of vision, a maturity of understanding. You know, the question is. Is there a maturity here that I just don't get, or is it a sellout? And I don't understand which
okay.
one it is.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah. See, is that you have the purports of the acharyas, because in the, especially in the 10th, 11th cantos, there's a lot of commentaries by the acharyas. So, himself, Gopi Bharanadana Prabhu, and I think, who else is there? Jayadvaita Maharaj.
Dravida too.
Dravida. So you have this very nice crew that's working together and working off the Acharya's purports. So basically they're taking what's there in the purports and pretty much dropping, basically the only thing they have to leave out is the grammatical examples, because English doesn't really have a grammar, you know, so like that. You know, they talk about it, but it's not scientific, you know, like Sanskrit is, that you can, Sanskrit, you can use grammatical explanations as logic, while in English it's basically you're trying to explain how the art is applied. Well, in Sanskrit, this is the science, and then people follow it. But if you know nicely English grammar, then you can relate to the examples given, though they won't necessarily have quite the depth that they will as if you know English grammar connected back to Latin or any other language, then it'll mean more. But if you're learning in a contemporary environment where you don't take it back, it will mean a little less. So those parts, generally, Gopi Puranadana would, unless they're really important, sometimes he will use them. But most of the time, he won't, because there's so many other explanations. It's another angle to there. So the point's been nicely explained without it, so he generally leaves those ones out, simply because of the audience, right? So then you have that, these nice purports, you have this nice association, you have someone who's really intelligent, right? So then you're going to come up with something really nice, because it's also what Prabhupada asked to be done. Then you have the same intelligence being what it is, it analyzes, it must look at things and see things. So then the element of the principle, that Vedic culture is talking about principles, the primary. It's not about the secondary, it's about the primary. And so that's a point that's very much, that you could say is an element of maturity of understanding. Because, yes. But the same time is, the principle is expressed through the secondary. Just like the affection of the mother is the primary thing, she's expressing it through her cooking for the children, or her care, or dressing, or bathing, or like this. So it's not about the cooking, it's not about the dressing, it's about the affection. So the two go together. So that that principle that the primary is the essential point and the secondary is not, that's understood. But then so that's where what you said about the maturity, you know, a maturity beyond the general perspective. But then at the same time is that since the secondary is how you express the primary, then that's why the acharyas have given secondary techniques that are in the mode of goodness, that are recommended, that they will not be distracting. Because the whole point is we're not remembering Krishna because we're forgetting him. Right? So the whole point is we always remember Krishna because of the primary, and we don't forget him because the secondary is connected to him. Does that make sense? So this is then where that other aspect comes up, is that the secondary elements, even though they're not the primary, which is correct, and they're not the main focus. So it's not about that you're wearing a dhoti or tilak or like that, that makes you so much the devotee. It's that your intent to wear that to please Krishna that makes it devotional. Otherwise, it's just a mode of goodness dress that's recommended by the previous, you know, great personalities, the acharyas going back into Shruti, Smriti going back into Shruti. So we have three levels of example for one, learning the primary, but also two, learning the secondary. So now if we simply base it on being Westerners, we do Western stuff, how does that itself, the secondary, enhance our remembering Krishna? So all we have is the primary, So it's like primary, no secondary, no support. So it's actually a weak position. You understand? So it's not a strong position, because then you don't have things to remind you. You know, if you're walking down the street in the dhoti, people deal with you differently. Right? So one, they could look to you for spiritual guidance. They could say, oh, he's a monk, so it doesn't look so good that he's walking into certain shops. You know, but if you're wearing karmi clothes, you can do anything you want. So what's to give that secondary support? That's what's left out. That's the weakness in there. So you're pointing out, is there a weakness, or is there a master intelligence? There's both. You just have to be able to distinguish where's the strength, where's the weakness.
Hey, Coach, so can somebody get to the primary without dealing at all with the secondaries?
The point is, it's called a paramahamsa, an avatut.
Point is, can regular people get to the primary without going through some, at least some of the secondaries?
No.
Okay.
It's that simple. Because the point is why would you say I am a Westerner when I'm not the body? Why would you overemphasize something that we're not? And when we say West, what do we mean West? Okay, we say we're Westerners, we eat Western food. Okay? So where is West? I mean, because where is it west of? Pizza's from Italy. They're Easterners. They're Wogs.
I know where West is. Alachua, Florida. That's West.
Yeah. Okay. But that's an expansion of farther west, the real origin of the West when it came. You understand? So the whole thing is there's nothing in America that's from America. If you're eating an alligator, you know, alligator ribs, you know, eating bison, eating turkeys, then you could say it's American. All other food is from somewhere else. And generally speaking, if you check by the map, they're all East. Even pants came from the East. Because in America, they didn't wear pants. I think the Sioux wore pants because they rode horses a lot. But most of them just wore copans. You know what I'm saying? So the whole idea that the Western culture on its own stands on its own, it's all from the East. Everything's from the East. The old world is where everything comes from. If there's any semblance of culture, it's from the old world, which is East. And the old world got things from farther East than that. You know, so that's the difficulty, is it's a misnomer. And then you have the thing is you're cultivating your bodily consciousness rather than being aware of it and being saying, yes, I have it, but it's not good enough. Its only use is its engagement in Krishna's service. But here it's like it has a glory in itself. Western has a glory in itself that it's just as good as Indian, because India is a country and America is a country, so they're just two countries. But how do you get that kind of equality? You know, America goes back 200 years and then that's it. Okay, throw in another few hundred years, the Boston Brahmins will get upset if we don't throw another couple hundred years in. Okay, yeah, but like that. But the Boston Brahmins, you know, that's not us. How many here from the Boston Brahmins? How many of you here, your family came over on the Mayflower, one of those early 1600? Okay, so it's not us. Right? So then, you know, ours goes back even less, you know. We're talking about, you know, from the 50s on, you know, like that. No, we don't even have the roaring 20s elements, you know. So the weakness is that's focusing on, it's not about engaging your position in Krishna's service. It's Krishna's service or philosophy is validating your position. So then this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about as a theistic moralist. Theistic moralism means you see that moralism has its basis in God consciousness. But it's not about God, it's about your morality. So God supports morality. And the point of it is to prosper, to enjoy, to like that. Now, you can use that in that way. You can use it, theistic moralism, to liberate yourself because you follow your duties and without attachment, so you get out of the material world, or you can do it with devotion. But if you're going to take theistic morality that we are this, so, but then what does that mean? How do you define the Western? You know, so then you really have to get down to it. What makes them? You know, then the melting pot of America is very different than, let's say, a German or a Frenchman. He doesn't identify with America. No one in Europe identifies. And no country other than America identifies with America. You know what I'm saying? So then it becomes a problem. Because then how universal is it? Because if we are a Westerner, then what kind of Westerner you are? You know what I'm saying? So then again you create this whole communities and this one against that one, and you know, so because if we're Westerners, you know, they're talking dress casual. What about the guy in Panama who, you know, he wears down home streetwear and he's got tats all over? Now for him, he should be able to dress like that. Now, would he be comfortable walking in with his friends, you know, into, you know, an American Krishna West Center? Especially if people outside, other Americans, saw him walking in there? You know what I'm saying? But for him, that's his West. You know? You go to Finland, it's totally different. You know? You go to Russia, different again. So, it's not universal. That's the weakness. So actually, the Gaudiya is the actual universal. You just have to know how to apply it. Because it's not, you don't have, just because you want to wear pants, then you don't have to start a society. It's just that if pants are important in Krishna's service, you wear them. But to say, no, I have the right to wear pants, that's not about Krishna. That's not Yukta Vairagya. That's not Krishna West. That's just called West. Krishna means it's about Krishna. Right? So the whole point is yes, you can start there, but you don't stay there. You know, you're in the ocean. And so people are on the boat, where did they throw the rope? Into the water. That's where you are. But now you're going to start a philosophy that we're in the water. Why you're discriminating? Well, you think you're better because you're on the boat? You like that? You know, it's like that. We're out here in the wide expanse. You're stuck in this little dinky boat. You know, I got the whole ocean to float around in. Hey, you know, we're universal here. You know, so, you know, it's a waste of time. So the whole point is that starting from whatever position, yes, but that's being able to make Krishna consciousness relevant to the person in their position, meaning making the primary relevant. When you understand the primary, then you can catch how to engage the secondary. Right? In other words, you're cooking whatever you're cooking, then it's by the grace of God that you're getting it. Now, if you want to offer it to God, then it's got to be, there's some things, because, you know, he being a person, he likes certain things. You being a person, you like this. He being a person, he likes something else. So he likes vegetarian, clean, like this, done in proper consciousness. So you want to offer it to him, that's another thing. You can say grace and get his blessing, that's one thing. Eat whatever you want, but if you want to offer it to him, that's another thing. So if you want to increase the personal relationship, so why would I be offering to you something that you don't necessarily like, but I like? Right? You know, isn't it the cliche on Christmas? You know, the auntie always gives something. She, you know, those pair of socks or something that she really thinks she really likes. She gives it to you, and you really hate it. You know, like that. It's pretty standard, right? You know, so is that rati? Is that attachment? No, it's about, therefore, if Krishna likes something, if we can arrange it, great. If we can't, we do the best we can. You know, if we can't, don't have first class, then we second, then third, then fourth. If there's nothing else, then we'll go for tenth. But you don't start with tenth and say, hey, we're great. You don't remain at tenth. You know, that's the whole thing. It's not, you can do, you start from there, but the point is if you have a brand new devotee, they're just worried about hearing, chanting, associating with devotees. They're not worried that I'm wearing pants. They just wear pants. They just still eat their, you know, what they eat. But they're thinking about, you know, going to the temple, being with the devotees. You understand? Because they're absorbed in the primary. The secondary is there. Nobody minds. Nobody cares. But now when they walk into the temple, when they could be wearing a dhoti, and then saying, no, no, we're Westerners, we're wearing pants, then everybody thinks, what's wrong with this person? You know, what's the issue? Why? How is it secondary is now become the primary element? It's about the externals. They're saying it's not about the externals, but it's all about the externals. Other like Krishna West. Right? Not Krishna Shuddha Bhakti or Krishna Prema or, you know, no, why Krishna West? You understand? So it's, even though the principle's founded on a very solid point that most don't catch. In fact, like you said, most within that says don't understand actually what Maharaj is talking about. But at the same time, when it's applied, it's all about the externals. It's not about the principle. Why just the dress? Because it's no. Yes, it's about the dress or about food. Basically, it's that you don't want to do anything that's outside the standard middle class, slightly educated Western viewpoint. You know, we're not accommodating the Southerners. We're not accommodating the Hicks. We're not accommodating the anarchists. We're not accommodating the conservative. We're not accommodating most of the world. There's a very small, narrow thing which you call this liberal group. And somehow or another, they're the world. But, you know, that's the mentality, right? It means that, what was the year? 69? They all got together at Woodstock. And the thing, the motto was, we are the world. They were a bunch of hippies out in the mud, out in the middle of nowhere. But we are the world. The same people are on the same website. No, Krishna is the world. His culture is universal because it deals with the soul. Now, every soul is different where they are situated, so you start from there. You engage that. So whatever they are, they do. So like that. It works. Because it's about the primary. Secondary is there. But it's light. But you don't want to make it heavy. You know what I'm saying? People have their attachment to their Western foods and this and that. But it's focused on Krishna. It's light. The attachment's light. But if you make a philosophy that, no, we can do this, then you make it very heavy. And all it's going to do is weigh you down. Does that make sense? Did that go in the direction you were thinking? Huh? Yes? No? Sorry? I should not be? Yes, but you won't have to worry. In the future, you won't have that.
As said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj modernized certain things. Like Bhaktisiddhanta says, he wore pants.
Yes, but then the point is then if you want to get into that, yes, because here it's not that it's philosophically a difficulty. The difficulty is what does leadership? If I get together and have a meeting, okay, let's say you have a meeting of all the presidents. Okay, what are you going to discuss? Are you going to discuss the standards of deity worship? Are you going to discuss the standards of prasad, prasad service? Who should serve prasad? Like that? No, never. Not once. So why? So then it's just about management. It's just about the secondary aspects. The primary are never discussed. It just doesn't happen because it's taken for granted. Of course we're doing all that. But of course it only happens if you do it. You understand? So therefore, then either we do it or it will change. It means Prabhupada says it goes on for 10,000 years. It means it gets better for 5,000 and it goes down for 5,000. Right? So, you know, we got some time. We've only been 40, 50 years now, so it'll get better. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So we'll end here. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Chai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Chai Nitai Gaurapani.